Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. I'm your host, William Liu of Yahoo Sports Canada. And on this week's episode, I have Harrison Sanford, host of Inside the Green Room. Please tell people that the pod is still going to be going on.
The pod is still going on. It's okay. Going to the West Coast. I'm looking forward to that. Obviously, as much as I love Toronto, I think everybody here probably recognizes the potential for the podcast in the entertainment capital of the world is going to be very exciting. So I'm looking forward to that. And hey, if Masai Ujiri would like to start a podcast, I could still stay in Toronto too, though. So you never know.
That would be one hell of a podcast.
Just believe in yourself every.
Yo, actually though, like it's just a motivational kind of like, I don't know, like a Tony Robbins kind of thing, but yeah. With just Masai telling you to invest in yourself. I mean, that press conference seems like a long time away now.
Yeah, it does. It does.
It was an amazing press conference, though.
Man, if you could, the timeline video tribute of the whole season from the trade on, from media day on, is just something spectacular. I can't wait until it gets bottled up into like a smaller format. Like obviously, Open Gym is great, the season finale episode. But I'm waiting for like the encapsulation of the whole experience from beginning to end, because it was a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous ride that nobody could have predicted it to the way it's gone down.
Yeah, for sure.
From the beginning and to the end, nobody could have predicted it.
Yeah, I mean, look, listen, the ending has been a little anticlimactic, but I think I've been trying to tell people that it doesn't take anything away from the title. Like, if anything, it makes you appreciate the title even more.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like if you're like a Cavs fan, you're probably holding on to that one title forever. That one title is honestly probably to Cavs fans worth more than the last like two titles to Warriors fans after KD got there. You know what I mean? And so Raptors fans, like, we gotta cherish this this title, because look, Kawhi's gone, Kawhi left. Actually, for me personally, I'm a little bit surprised, because the reaction has kind of quickly shifted from "Thank you, Kawhi," did an amazing service, thank you for being, you know, Michael Jordan of the North, and then now, based on the reporting that's come out, and there's always reporting that comes out after the fact, it feels like people are a little bit mad at the fact that Kawhi sort of used the team, at least that's a perception, and that acted in his own self-interest as sort of both an insider and an outsider now, because you've been here long enough. Like, were you surprised by the reaction, and is it just sort of the part of the grieving process?
I think it's just part of the grieving process. I think when every Raptors fan looks back at it, you'll say to yourself, if you went to college, but if I say it here, if you go to university, right, and you get a job, you get placed, you find a great job, you get placed, they send you to a place you've never been to before, San Antonio. You work there for 7 years, and the next thing you know, you got to go do another assignment somewhere else at another place that you never predicted you'd ever live. You did a great job.
Amazing job,
beyond expectations. And then finally, after putting in all that work, you get a chance to go home. You probably would go home too. And if you have to make home a little bit more comfortable by doing certain things, then it is what it is. I think the one disappointing thing, as it pertains to Kawhi Leonard, though, is that because he is who he is, he hasn't said anything, and that kind of hurts. I think people's feelings in terms of their expectations for him to coming back and things of that nature, and he struggled with that. With the Spurs, after he left,
thank you note that he put out there was hilarious. He, like, it was Times New Roman. He just capitalized "thank you" every single time. So yeah. I hope we get something a little bit more heartfelt than that letter, because I think there was some spurned feelings when he left the Spurs. But
I don't think there's spurned feelings here. I just think it's. But again, that's just who Kawhi, we got to know him for an entire year, right? That's who Kawhi Leonard is. He doesn't really say too much. So, you know, we should be happy, Raptors fans should be happy that throughout the course of the year, we did see some sparkles of Kawhi Leonard's personality that nobody's ever seen. And Toronto and the team and the organization and the fans were able to bring it out of him, give him some time to develop even more as a vocal person or a personality in that sense. And maybe he comes across with a little bit something more impassioned as time goes on. But yeah, I get it. It hurts. But at the same time, I think a lot of people, if you were in his position, you would have thought about doing the same thing too. How could you make going home the most comfortable situation? And that's what he did. And yeah, it hurts how he maneuvered and did it reportedly. Mm-hmm. But we don't know the whole side of the story because, one, again, Kawhi hasn't talked either.
And we will not know the side of that story. We just won't. Like, maybe Paul George reveals his side and maybe they ask KD about it one day and KD will say, okay, this is how the phone call broke down. And apparently Kyrie was called too.
Mm, apparently.
I mean, it is what it is. Listen, I think the lifespan of an athlete is very different than the lifespan of any other job, really. And, you know, as you mentioned, you have so much of your own career as an athlete dictated for you. And the one chance you actually have to actually control things and sort of make things work in your favor is free agency. And, like, for most guys, you get into free agency a couple of times. And usually, most of the time when you get into free agency, you don't even have much leverage. Mm-hmm. You're just sort of like, okay, please, someone give me this deal here or here. Like, Kawhi has that very, very rare opportunity where he could set up everything for his own liking, and he decided to go home. And, you know, the thing is, like, he didn't really lead anybody on, right? I think what people are mad at now is sort of him saying, for example, you know, when the season ended, you know, during all the interviews, he said, you know, this is the most fun I've ever had in a season. You know, just the redemption that he had from going from playing 9 games to winning the title is just crazy, and his reputation is sort of, you know, replenished and things like that. And people sort of took that as, oh, look, he's leading them on, you know, this and that, or he's wearing a Blue Jays jersey. But, like, first off, wearing the Blue Jays jersey, like, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
That's a different thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, I just think that throughout the whole process, like, we kind of knew what the deal was. Like, we knew right away when he came here that he wanted to go to Los Angeles.
Yep.
Chances were good that he wanted to go to the Clippers because LeBron was already in, you know, with the Lakers. And
That's ultimately what he did.
I mean, and he did a lot of great things in between. And I think it's just sort of up to fans to sort of reconcile the idea that, like, he had a great time here, we had a great time with him, and then he wanted to do something else. And you just kind of got to respect that, you know?
You got to respect it. And I do think if you look at him, you know, wearing the Blue Jays jersey, I know for a fact that he was still out in Toronto. Danny and Kawhi were the only players who stayed in Toronto after they won the title. Like, they were still here up until, like, the day free agency started. I know Kawhi, I know Drake was still trying to take Kawhi out.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, he came back. He flew back at like 5 a.m. in the morning to get on that flight to come to Toronto for 2 days. The helicopter thing was,
yeah, was
a thing of
his own. That was wild.
That's crazy. but, like, you know what I mean? Like, he came back and I don't know. I just don't think he led them on. Maybe, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe there will be more reporting that comes out from the front office that says, well, actually, it seemed like the whole time he wanted to go to L.A. And so dragging the process out for 5 days and telling keeping Toronto in it, maybe that some people will have, you know, hurt feelings about that. But also, like, man, it's like if you're an employee in any industry, if you have your employer sort of chasing after you like that, no one just willingly surrenders leverage.
Nope.
Like, I understand it. It's not necessarily the best thing to do for the Raptors, but it was probably the best thing to do for Kawhi Leonard. And that's what people do in free agency.
Kawhi did the best thing for himself. If you look at that basketball situation with the Clippers,
it's good.
Pat Beverly, Paul George, Lou Will off the bench, that is scary.
Yeah.
And so I can't knock him for that. It's unfortunate the way it went down, but I cannot knock him for the way he did it. And also, too, if you look at some of the reporting that says, well, you know, the Raptors could have traded Pascal Siakam and whatever to get Paul George potentially and maybe Russell Westbrook. I think the awkward situation, even if Kawhi wanted to do it, even if he wanted to play with Paul George, let's say with the Raptors, it put Kawhi in a real awkward situation because he just won a title with Kyle Lowry and Marcus Gasol and Serge Ibaka.
Right.
Those are pieces that would have had to be moved. And we've seen Kawhi bond with this Raptors team in a vastly different way than he ever did with the Spurs.
That's true.
So imagine being Kawhi Leonard. You just bonded with Kyle Lowry over the course of the season. He lost his best friend in DeMar DeRozan. Me and Kyle Lowry became friends. We won a title together. And then I have to tell him that I want him to be traded or he's a piece that has to be moved in order to bring in somebody who I think I could win for the next 4 years with. That is a very difficult position for Kawhi to be in. And as we know from Kawhi, he's not a very vocal guy. So imagine Imagine that. Imagine being Kawhi and telling Serge, "Hey Serge, I had a monkey penis for you on your show, whatever you had, whatever."
Yo, don't spoil season three. Yeah. How hungry are you, man? Yeah, don't give Serge any ideas.
Yeah, I had to do. I did that for you because we're close, but I want to win titles, and mm-hmm. in order to do that, you're gonna have to be a piece that gets moved in this trade. It's a very awkward situation for him. It's like a clean slate with the Clippers, and I assume that's part of the reason why he did it.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? Honestly, like, there's a whole sort of fan reaction to it. I thought it would be a little bit different because they won the title. And, like, I don't want to judge any of the fan reaction. Like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Ultimately, you're going to feel what you feel. The whole industry of sports is really just, like, you're going to emotionally invest in something and then sort of feel some sort of way. Like, honestly, being mad is actually part of the experience of being a sports fan. But
for sure.
It just feels like, to me, like, especially in this era of player empowerment, like, people are just never going to be happy with the way anyone leaves. Like, if I told you a year ago, okay, so you're going to give up Kawhi Leonard, you're going to give up DeMar DeRozan, but you're going to get Kawhi Leonard, you're going to get Danny Green, and you're going to win a title immediately. And it's going to be one of the most memorable title runs ever. Like, so many amazing moments. You're going to have, like, a parade with, like, 3 million people in the streets. You're going to have this, like, you know, just, you know, one of the craziest shots of all time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all these sort of moments. And then the guy's going to leave. Would you take that deal? Every single Raptors fan, 100%, is saying, yes, I take that deal. I'm thrilled with that deal. Sign me up immediately. And so, I don't know. That's exactly kind of how it played out. And, like, you know, you can always nitpick, like, oh, no, this and this. But, like, people just never get to be happy when players leave. And it's just sort of, if that's the case, and this is the era of player, you know, empowerment, like, I don't know. It's kind of a weird relationship, I guess.
Yeah, it's a weird relationship. I guess that's why there's a lot of people nowadays that are basketball fans that are more fans of players than the teams, because it's a lot easier to show loyalty to a player than to a team, because you never know what a team's going to look like because of the player empowerment era. I would say, for Raptors fans, as you know, you kind of digest the Kawhi and Danny news, just like, I know there's a level of anxiety as it comes to, like, do players ever want to stay here? Well, I hope they just kind of examine how they are right now, mm-hmm. and see and wonder if our negative reception to a guy that just won the city and the country an NBA title could potentially impact how another free agent potentially feels about coming. Like, this guy won a title. He never badmouthed the city.
Never.
He never badmouthed anything about the city. Anything he said was positive about the city.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now, if I was a Raptors fan, I would say, hey, listen, I know this hurts, but I'm not going to let him know that I'm mad right now. Even when you have an ex, right? And you want to curse them out, you try to be on your P's and Q's.
Yeah.
Because you could potentially get them back or somebody like them. So, you never know.
Toronto has definitely developed that relationship as the crazy partner. You know what I mean? Like, like, oh, you're coming into, you're going out for meetings? All right, when you come back, I'm going to send a helicopter. We're going to have people outside the hotel.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know, that kind of love goes both ways. You know what I mean? When you hit the same kind of energy that, like, brings 3 million people out to the streets, there's going to be a couple of them that may or may not be, you know, happy with the whole situation. I mean, let's talk quickly actually about the Clippers.
Sure.
How good is that team? And can they load manage? I think a lot of people are thinking Toronto was able to load manage Kawhi, and in those games they went like 17-5. Can the mm-hmm. Clips do that? And, you know, ultimately, how good can the Clips be in the Western Conference?
Well, they can load manage. It's a lot harder, though, in the Western Conference, because the Western Conference is stacked.
Yeah.
There's about 3 to 4 teams in the West that would easily be playoff teams in the East that might miss the playoffs in the West because of how stacked the West is. So
Detroit made the playoffs.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
I could name
is bad.
3 teams easily in the West that might not make the playoffs that could get in over them. I would say in that sense, it's going to be difficult for them to load manage. But when you have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and Lou Will, who could score at any moment's notice, and Landry Shamet, who I like a lot, who I got to cover when he was in college, Montrezl Harrell, Mo Harkless, Zubac.
They could use a couple more bigs, is my opinion.
That's going to be the interesting thing when they clearly have the best perimeter defense in the league.
Yeah, it's
clearly
not close.
Not close. And the Lakers, and I'm like analyzing the Lakers a lot more than I ever did.
Yeah.
The Lakers, if DeMarcus Cousins can return to the pre-quad injury form, or even just look good like he did when the games the Warriors won during the finals, then they're almost unstoppable on the interior with LeBron, AD, and Cousins.
Yeah.
So that that wage of wars, that difference of strategies, going to be very interesting. I think they could load manage throughout the regular season. I think that'd be perfectly fine. I don't think they'll finish with the number one seed in the regular season, mm-hmm. but I still think they are probably the favorites to come out of the West, depending on what matchup they get. Because I still think that Lakers matchup is going to be very difficult with them unless they get another big man who can guard not just AD and Cousins.
Yeah.
You have to be able to guard them both, because if I'm the Lakers, I'm putting them both on the floor, defense be damned, with Cousins. You can't. They're going to win the possession battle every game. It's like kind of like when the Sixers went big on the Raptors.
Yeah. And, you know, LeBron is not Ben Simmons.
There you go.
So that really helps. I like the Clips too. I think they do need to add another big man just because, like, even Montrezl Harrell, he's, like, kind of undersized.
Yep.
Came off the bench a lot of last year, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
How many texts,
a good team, man. Yeah. That's a really good team.
How many in the Western Conference Finals? How many texts does Montrezl Harrell and DeMarcus Cousins get?
Oh man, they're one of them's dying after that series, man. No, it's
that'd be fun.
I look forward to it. Zubac is probably not going to see much of the floor, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I'm actually, just as a basketball fan, like I'm really interested to see what happens in LA. The star power there is crazy. For the Raptors, though, the big question now is what you do next, especially with the veterans, right? Because you can either have a chance to run it back, or you could sort of try to move some of these pieces, get ahead of it, because these guys are all on expiring contracts. Maybe get some things, get some new players in, get some new prospects, some picks, and try to rebuild. For me, I think the question really depends on what the vets want to do themselves. Are they invested in, you know, coming in with a contract year, showing out, and then, you know, moving forward? Or are they saying, look, I want to be in a different situation? Because these guys are all older. And, you know, thank you for this time in Toronto. You know, I want to move on. And if that's the case, then you got to work with these guys to sort of – you can't just have the whole strategy in your mind. You got to work with these guys.
Yeah.
Is my thinking.
Yeah, I agree, too. I think the first person you talk to is Kyle Lowry. He's put in a lot of work, a lot of sacrifice. Hey, Kyle, do you want to defend your title, or do you want to put yourself in a situation where you could potentially maximize your next deal? And then, man, I could imagine Kyle Lowry gets traded to another team, Raptors get assets for him, and then Kyle Lowry gets a buyout for $3-4 million less than what he would have earned.
Right.
And next thing you know, Kyle Lowry's on the free market.
I'm telling you, Kyle Lowry, I mean, look, I don't want to see Kyle Lowry in another uniform other than the Raptors, because I love him so much. He's been here for so long. But if he was on, like, a team like Philly, for example.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That team going to the finals.
Exactly. 100%. Or if he was on, let's say, Oladipo wasn't fully healthy, or they just tried to run a three-guard lineup, Pacers could be right there.
Yep.
I'm sure the Lakers would love a point guard as well.
Yeah, I mean.
Outside of LeBron. So
yeah.
If I'm a sign, I'm Bobby Webster, I say, hey, listen, Kyle, like, what do you want to do?
Yeah, I mean, he's earned that kind of respect.
Yes.
Like, 100%, you know.
Yep.
The buyout thing might be a little tough.
Buyout thing might be a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. Yeah, a
lot of money. So we'll see how it works out in terms of Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka. I don't know how that's going to work out. I mean, obviously, Mark could be a valuable piece for a lot of teams. But I do think if I'm Masai and I'm Bobby Webster, I'm not saying – I would. I had to think about it. I would potentially move off of one of them.
Yeah.
I don't know who, but I want to get Siakam at the five this year.
Okay.
I want if we have to look about what they could be for the next 4 or 5 years, or next decade rather yet, you have to start getting Siakam some minutes at the five.
Yeah.
Because in this NBA, you have to at least have not your starting lineup, but there has to be some lineups where Siakam is the five.
Yeah.
So one of those guys I would think should go, but again, and I think it all starts with Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
If he wants to move on to give himself a better chance to have a better contract, because now he's in the offensive pecking order, he has to go up another level now.
I just don't think his body can handle that, man.
Exactly. Yeah. So if I'm Kyle Lowry, maybe I do want to position myself from one more deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. But I think it's imperative upon the Raptors to get Siakam some minutes at the five this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next goal for Masai and Bobby Webster should be not just building a team that can win a title, but building a team that could win a title where you don't have an immensely important player on the last year of his deal.
Yeah.
You know, like, you would love Bradley Beal to have bid on this roster because you know you have him for a couple more years. Like, that's the next.
That could have changed the Kawhi decision.
That could have changed, but I don't know if you win if Bradley Beal's on the roster as of this past final season, because you don't know what you had to trade to get him.
That's
off
true.
The book. So that's you never true. Know what kind of maneuvering you had to do. But either way, I think it's imperative. Now their next step should be, how do we build a sustainable winner and not just a winner for 1 year?
Right. I think some fans are really enamored with the idea of, if they do, like, if all the veterans buy in, they say, look, I like the situation in Toronto. Obviously, with Kawhi gone and also Danny gone, there's a couple more shots to go around. My numbers will look good. You know, I could use this as a launching pad for the next, you know, contract and things like that. And also, I want to run it back. If all the veterans say I want to run it back, I think a lot of fans would be okay with that. Even though you might lose a couple assets along the way, like, ultimately, you know, this team, I mean, I know they're just coming off a championship and things like that, but, like, the Raptors as a franchise, not had a lot of success.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, notwithstanding, you know, their long-term outlook, this would be otherwise one of the best Raptors rosters ever, even without Danny and Kawhi.
That's it. That's
and
crazy.
So I think some fans would probably like to see a running back. If they do run it back, and assuming everyone is decently healthy.
Yep.
I mean, how successful do you see that team in the Eastern Conference?
I would say I'd put the Bucks, Sixers, Celtics, and with a healthy.
Okay, wait, hold. Celtics? I gotta stop you.
I'd still put this. Actually,
the thing is, the Celtics, like, they don't have any bigs. They're starting. No. They're starting Enes Kanter.
No. Aaron Baines is still there, I believe, though, right? No.
He left too. He went to Phoenix.
Oh damn.
Yeah. So they got no bigs. You can't start Enes Kanter.
Okay. From a matchup perspective, they probably don't match up well. But maybe from a regular season performance perspective, Maybe I'd still give it to them. But in a playoff series, that'd be a tough one for them. Tough one for the Celtics to win. Pacers, depending on Oladipo's health. Yeah, I mean, They're very much in the mix to host a first round series. So Why not? You know, why not run it back? And there's a certain level of pride that I'm assuming all these guys have. And like, hey, listen, man, we could be good. Like, we could be good without Kawhi, and we could be good without Danny.
Yeah.
And the one thing, the second most disappointing thing about the Raptors' finals run, was the absence of OG Anunoby.
Yeah.
And if Phil Handy's still around.
He was in Vegas.
Yeah, he was in Vegas with the team. So. Yeah. So if Phil's still around, we saw what he was able to do with Kawhi Leonard's handles this year.
Yeah.
Kawhi's bounce off the dribble, I've never seen that from Kawhi. And so if he could start inserting that into OG's game, then you're talking about OG and Siakam doing really well. I mean, hey, first, and another thing too, So Jeremy Castleberry, the Clippers now.
Yeah.
If I'm the Raptors, I'm making a call to Rico Hines.
Okay.
There's a player developmental coach opening.
Yeah. Pascal's favorite. That's Pascal's guy.
Yeah. Tell Rico, come over to Toronto, work on Siakam and OG. Because, hey, if Siakam and OG pan out, you have them already under your wing already. You can exceed the cap for them, all types of. You know how it goes when you have a rookie under your control, quote unquote control. They could be special if they can take another step. You could work from there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's that bad either way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd understand it either way. You know, based on the rest of the team building sort of strategy. So they brought in Stanley Johnson.
Yep.
2-year deal. Second year is a player option. Pretty cheap. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, I was surprised he was available at the minimum. I think he's better than that. He's young. He's shown he can produce on a playoff team. I don't know why he's making the minimum. Obviously, he's not perfect as a player, but I like him at least.
McCaw's back.
They brought McCaw. McCaw's got a good agent.
Mm-hmm.
The $8 million over 2 years, I was a little bit surprised by. But also, I mean,
Was that second year a team option or player option?
I'm not really sure.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, either way, that's not bad. I like McCaw too. There's more there, and based on sort of the way last season went, I don't think there was minutes for him. But I think this year, I think based on all the additions they made, and they brought in like a guy like Matt Thomas from the overseas, who I think played in Iowa before that, and also this guy Terrence Davis, who I saw some summer league highlights. I was like, yo, this guy could be good. And I had to remind myself it's summer league, so maybe chill. But it feels like the Raptors are kind of basically use the rest of the roster to sort of figure out. Look, we want to make a defensive identity. We want to maintain that. That was obviously the best part of the Raptors this season. And we just want to use the rest of the roster spots to kind of see, almost like a summer league team, like a tryout, kind of see like who's actually good.
Yeah.
And sort of move from there. And these are intriguing guys that they brought in.
I like all their pickups considering the circumstance. You take a bet on one of these guys. I think they really learned that this switching, as I said a lot last year or during this past playoff run, they were the best defensive team in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And now with these new cast of characters, they could potentially be one of the better teams in the NBA, again, because of the switchability mm-hmm. of a Stanley Johnson. Patrick McCall could pick up 94 feet. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is a good defender. So, again, there's something they could do. You're just hoping one of these guys learns how to shoot. If one of these guys learns how to shoot, then you got something. You just added another capable wing starter,
mm-hmm.
and then you're just trying to figure out who's going to be the point guard of the future. And that would be an interesting question for Masai and Bobby to answer as it pertains to Fred VanVleet. I love Fred, but I wonder how they envision him as the starting point mm-hmm. guard going forward just because of his size. I mean, we saw what happened in that 76ers series. Do they say, hey, any starting point? There could be a train of thought that if I'm going to win a championship, my point guard has to be a certain height. But then again, he's surrounded by so much length that maybe you get away with it. I don't know. It's something for them to evaluate. I imagine a lot more run for Fred this year. And they give him because Fred's on a contract year, too.
Yeah, that's true.
So we'll see.
And he said previously that, you know, his goal is to be a starting caliber point guard. And obviously, we'll see if, like, you know, a team actually gives him that opportunity. But, yeah, I mean, this is a good trial. I mean, this is, you know, the thing is, like, it's not just a trial for the new guys they bring. It's also a trial for the rest of the guys. Like,
yep.
You get more opportunity for guys like OG, more opportunities for guys like Norm. Mm-hmm. Norm is always a guy that I always felt like he's just so inconsistent, but like the highs are really good. The
highs are really good.
And if you could just find some consistency, and I think maybe part of that is also finding consistent minutes because he's just never really had that in his career.
Yep.
If you can get that going, Pascal maybe goes for another level. Like I think basically what the Raptors are going to have this year is a chance to see what they actually have.
Yep.
And you can evaluate that on top of the fact that you know what the veteran's going to give you. They can provide a construct if they want to stay mm-hmm. around. But Pascal, though, as a number one option.
Yep.
Is that possible?
Yeah, it's possible. Number one option on a championship-winning team or number one option on a contending team?
Like a playoff team.
A playoff team? Yes, depending on the structure around him. Okay. Does he have a savvy point guard that could still get him his letouts and all those type of points? His footwork in the paint is special. Imagine when he gets a little bit stronger that he can actually bully people.
Because
he could already outstretch him, right? He could already just shoot over a lot of people. His corner three kind of trailed off there towards the end of the playoffs. But if that's there, and then his off-the-bounce game, you saw some flashes of it where he was able to do the mid-range. It's possible, but he has to put in the work to get there. But he put in the work to get where he's at now. So I could see it. How will he handle double teams and things of that nature?
That's what I'm curious
about. That's going to be another level. That's why I say a lot of it might really depend. I think a lot of it's going to come down to what type of point guard is he playing with. Is he playing with a true playmaker
mm-hmm.
that could allow him to, like, because of his speed and his length, and get him those 10 to 12 rather easy buckets and not everything's coming off of isolation?
Yeah.
Or is he playing with a point guard that's only a catch-and-shoot shooter so that he doesn't really create too much, he just provides spacing? It's going to be interesting to see. I think, again, this is another good reason for the Raptors to kind of look at Pascal and see how could they formulate a team around him, what's his strengths, and where can he improve, or where is it going to be really difficult for him to improve?
Yeah, and that's a good point about, like, the guy setting him up, because you don't want Pascal to create everything. And it's just almost impossible to ask any basically power forward or eventually a center basically to create that much for himself. And, you know, that might be a point in the favor of keeping Kyle around, because Kyle is kind of the ideal playmaker for a guy like Pascal. Very unselfish, looking to distribute, very, very heads-up player in terms of pushing the pace. So, you know, that could be something there. But, yeah, I'm curious to see what Pascal does, too. I think it's not going to be as smooth of a ride as it was this season. I think Pascal sort of snuck up on a lot of people this year. Mm-hmm. And then he got better as the season went on. So even when people came prepared for him, he was still scoring 20.
Salute him. He got so much better month by month. It was crazy.
It was wild. I mean, like, when I still remember that game against Phoenix where, like, it was just like a random game in March or whatever. Like, I don't think the Raptors were taking it too seriously. I think Kawhi was low managing. And, like, it was a close game because Phoenix was trying pretty hard. And from the get-go, they started double-teaming Pascal. And that's the first time I've ever seen a team basically say from the jump, we're going to double-team Pascal, we're going to force everyone else to beat you.
Mm-hmm.
And the Raptors couldn't really do that. And then at the very end, they started, like, the offense started going well, and so, you know, they went back to single coverage.
Yeah.
And then Pascal gets the ball at the very end, and I can't believe they drew up the play for him. And it wasn't even a play. It was just, like, get the ball at the top, drive to the rim, and, you know, finish. And he hit a game winner, which is, I don't know. He's developed a lot. I think I do worry as a fan, though, like, fans might put too much expectations on a guy like that.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's not like he's a natural star where you know for sure he's going to, you know, take that next step to becoming elite.
Mm-hmm.
So I do worry about that in that perspective. But he's a strong guy. He understands.
And I think the beautiful thing for him is he's not an offensive supernova. He's a defensive player as well. So he could maybe he doesn't become, like, the number one scoring option, but he still is very capable of being on the All-NBA first or second team defense every year for the rest of his career until, like, he gets rather old. So that's another feather in his cap as you look at his overall value to a franchise. So I'm looking forward to that. And as you mentioned, his development, remember in the beginning of the year, everybody was talking about his spin move?
Yeah.
By the end of the year, nobody was really even talking about it because he didn't have to use he developed so many counters because people finally learned what he was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But he still had so many counters to that. I truly salute him. He got a lot better.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see if OG could take that next step.
Yeah, for sure.
As well.
Yeah, and I think the only issue I had was in terms of, like, the additions around it was because if you decide Pascal and, to a lesser degree, OG are your main pieces going forward, the ideal guys you want around those types of players are shooters.
Yes.
Guys who are knockdown guys who can space the floor, right? I think next year Pascal's going to have a lot more double teams, and we'll see what comes out of that. But Rondae Hollis Jefferson is a very solid defender, hustles like crazy, not a shooter. Even like he even goes in for a lot of layups, and I'm just like, what's going on there? Stanley Johnson, I guess he's like theoretically a shooter, but not really.
Nope.
He's one of those guys where you're like, you're not good enough on offense, so like just space the floor and we'll hope you knock it down.
Yep.
And then he doesn't really hit at a high rate. Matt Thomas, the guy they brought from overseas, is apparently a 99% shooter. Like, the effective percentage, shooting percentage was, yeah, the tweet has been crazy. Raptors fans are now expecting, like, J.J. Redick times two. But,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. We'll see if he's even an NBA player, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just don't see a lot of shooting on the roster. In fact, most of the shooters are, like, you know, the veteran guys,
mm-hmm.
almost. And the veteran guys plus Fred. So I would like to see the Raptors sort of go out and at least, if you're going to go this route, maybe get a couple more shooters. And then if you look at the market, there's not a lot of great shooters out there.
Yeah, the market went up fast, man. I think by the end of last Sunday night, 60% of players were already signed. So the Raptors are in a tough spot regardless. I guess you just have to make hay with what you got. And honestly, for somebody like Norm, if Norm wants to be a starter in this league, he's going to have to up his rate of catch and shoot efficiency anyway. So, hey, give Norm – there's no other time but for now for Norm. There's no other time but now for Fred, who's going to he's going to have the opportunity to make a case that he's a starting point guard in this league because Kyle's in his last year. So, hey, I also salute the Raptors roster for saying, you know, we need shooting.
Mm-hmm.
We should have shooters on the roster. Their names are Norman Powell. Their names are Fred VanVleet. Hey, if Patrick McCall wants to be a starter in this league.
Yeah, I forgot about him.
He better start hitting catch and shoot threes.
Or take any shots, man. I've never seen a guy so unselfish.
There you go.
Yeah.
And everybody on this roster has the comfort of winning a title, but also the inspiration of proving themselves.
Yeah.
Outside the veterans. The veterans are already solid in their standing in the league. But all these young cats got a chance, man. So go ahead and take it.
Yeah, for sure. And Norm, like, low-key shot 40% last year from deep. Every time I look at his player page, I'm surprised.
Yeah, that catches me off
guard. Because it doesn't look like it should go in. It almost looks like his arms are too long. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I mean, you know, hopefully that goes up. And for a guy like Norm, like, he played so well with Marc Gasol. So, like, you keep Marc around to help his development. I don't really know. There's a lot of tough questions.
You can really see Marc and Kyle having a great benefit to this team sticking around when you say something like that. Yeah, it's going to be a tough decision. I guess we don't envision Norm as a shooter just because he's a lot more capable off the bounce than Danny.
Yep.
Where Danny's just like, I'm catching and I'm shooting it, whereas Norm's like, I don't have to do that every time.
Right,
I can put it on the ground. But yeah, if Norm could take, imagine if Norm takes another uptick. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Danny hinted towards this before the playoffs started when we did our live show. He said Norm is coming like Danny. Danny wasn't trying to compliment himself. He was just complimenting Norm. He said Norm is turning into Danny Green 2.0. Because of his shooting. And you know, Norm played fairly well throughout the playoffs. Yeah, I mean, he was big time.
Without him, the Raptors don't get past the Bucks.
There you go.
Like, he came out of nowhere. Oh, he started dropping 20 points on the Bucks.
Yeah, the Bucks series, he was special. So, you know, here goes Norm's chance now to really be the true starter at the two. And if he can hit threes at that rate with the off the bounce ability that he has, with the championship experience and the playoff, you know, he seems to be very comfortable in the playoff setting. So
definitely doesn't lack for confidence.
There you go. I mean, everything's right in front of him to take it. So I think Raptors fans, because these are homegrown talents, like a OG, like a Pascal, I think there's a certain sense of pride that they can have in watching them try to defend the title and improve their games at the same time. I grew up a Knicks fan, so like my favorite Knicks were always players that were homegrown.
Yeah,
I had a real obsession with Iman Shumpert for a while. That's gone drastically wrong.
I don't know why it's gone wrong. I like him on too.
I thought he was going to be
really
something.
I liked him on the Cavs too, just as like a hustle guy.
Yeah.
It's a perfect role for him.
But yeah, so I could understand Raptors fans. If I'm a Raptors fan, I'm excited because now there's homegrown talent on the team with championship experience. Mm-hmm. Imagine cheering for the Raptors 3-4 years from now when all the guys who you drafted are in the Eastern Conference Finals fighting to go to the finals. Like, it's pretty damn cool. So I'd be excited.
Yeah, so the day that this whole thing went down, let's go back to the big, topic out top with Kawhi leaving, and also, Danny left too, and I thought that was, it wasn't like I feel like you kind of knew that was going to happen, because obviously the situation was just not going to be the same for either side, but I think that part's also kind of devastating too, just because, like I mentioned earlier, like you need the floor spacing out there to sort of maximize the talent of everyone else. But I also thought Danny was a great vet in terms of just like, all the young guys, he built a relationship with them. It's just when you don't have that around, I think it just like one of the benefits of the Raptors this year was everyone was so level headed. And I felt like Danny really contributed to that as well. And also he was just like very steady, 80 games, shot 45% from deep. Like, it sucks that your man is gone, man. I'm going to miss him.
Yeah. It's unfortunate how it all unfolded. I think, as you look at Danny's impact on and off the court, I think he was huge in respect that Kyle wasn't necessarily with the team at the beginning of the season because of the DeMar deal.
Yeah.
Kyle's
a funny guy, man.
Yeah.
Kyle's a funny guy.
And Kyle admittedly was, he said it already, so I'm not saying anything new. But for Danny to come in and be that leader, it was huge. But I think Danny takes a lot of pride in leaving those habits behind, and kind of telling guys what to do. Because if it wasn't for guys like Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili and Pop and the whole Spurs organization, Danny wouldn't have any standing in this league.
Yeah.
Well, he might, but a lot less chance, right? So I think as he's left, I think he's going to still he imparted a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of habits that hopefully some of the guys carry on. Danny was always encouraging of Norm Powell, even though they're fighting for the same dollars and same position.
Right.
Always encouraging of OG, even though if OG starts to play well, you start to say, hey, Danny's got to come off the bench. Fred VanVleet, same way. Hey, Fred, you're playing well. You're shooting well. We need another ball handler out there. Go ahead, do your thing.
I mean, they basically traded places in the starting lineup in the finals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that lasting impact that resulted in an NBA title, right? All the habits that Danny executed throughout the course of the year and the mannerisms when things were going his way, where he was able to step out the spotlight, even though he is the team's designated shooter. I think it's going to have a lasting impact. And yeah, it's unfortunate how it went down, but I think we all know Danny's just turned 32.
Yeah.
I think any Raptor fan should have a level of appreciation for what he did and what he's trying to accomplish. He wants to be known as a winner. He played at North Carolina.
Yep.
He played with the Spurs. He won a title with the Raptors. He wants to keep winning because when his career is old, he's not, let's say, Shaq, right? He's not Charles Barkley, who didn't win a title, but these guys were superstars. So,
but he could be like Kenny.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where did Kenny go to school?
North Carolina.
Thank you. why is Kenny so pop? Kenny Smith so popular decades after he won a title? Because he won titles. He was he's associated with winning. So that winning perspective is always valuable, as whether he does broadcasting or not, even if he does something whether he does something totally different, he's associated with being a good presence in winning environments.
Yeah.
And so I know that's very imperative for him when he was making his decision. So I'm happy for him. And I think, you know, as it comes to winning the title with the Raptors, I think it's always going to hold a special place for him because—
Yeah, for sure.
You know, you win with North Carolina, it's what you're supposed to do. You win with the Spurs, it's what you're supposed to do. Yeah. So I know there's a part of him that's just like wanted to show people that I don't have to be in the typical quote unquote winning environments in order to be known as a winner. I can go to a place that's never won and still win.
Yeah.
So the country and the city still are going to hold a special place in his heart because of that. And obviously, too, because he's able to be himself more. At first, I don't want to say he was skeptical about the podcast, but he was very unsure how it was going to turn out. I think the podcast reception and people getting to know his personality, especially after leaving the Spurs, where you know everything is kind of buttoned up, in that sense, for him to be able to come out and show his personality more, engage with the fans, and to have it result in this, the epicenter of what you would want to do as a basketball player, winning a title, is a special, special
everything
situation.
Everything worked out, man.
Crazy.
Everything worked out perfect. And I think, you know, I already said it, he's gonna be very missed here in Toronto. I think his fit with the Lakers, I almost don't want to necessarily talk about it because like it makes so much sense, you know. What I mean, he's gonna start, he's gonna play 3-and-D, and it's gonna be a winning situation for him, and he's gonna be real solid. And I think honestly part of the issue with what befell the Lakers last year was like it was LeBron and like a bunch of like vets that were a little too old. Like, you know, respect some of these guys, but like Tyson Chandler was like one of their best defenders, and it's like this isn't in 2011 anymore, man. Like, and then the rest of the guys were young, and the young guys were really inconsistent, as you would expect young guys to be. But like, you know, there wasn't that bridge, and I think Danny coming in and the tone of the Lakers this year, that's gonna be a damn good team. Yeah. That's a damn good team.
And you know, and there are some people, you know, I try not to look too much at trolls on my account, but sometimes you look in your mentions and you do get some good stuff. A lot of it is bad, unfortunately. Yeah, but I was, you know, looking at some of the mentions, and I'm trying to explain to people that Danny on the Lakers is a tremendously good fit.
Oh yeah.
Oh my, more than he would have been on the Raptors.
Yeah.
He is more relied upon on the Lakers than he would have been on the Raptors. I don't envision a situation where Danny's going to be sat in a finals game. And as a, you know, as a guy with pride who worked your whole life to be in this position, you want to be relied upon.
Yeah, for sure.
And so he's going to be relied upon with the Lakers. I'm easily, despite all the teams and players that he's played with, LeBron is the best passer that he's ever played with, right? And so he's going to get, and there, and if you look at the construct of the offense, for the most part, Danny with the Raptors was stand in the corner, ball movement will find you.
Yeah.
Whereas with LeBron, they will run actions, whether it's pin downs or pistol actions or down screens, where Danny is the targeted offensive option because of the actions that they could run because of all the attention that's going to be on LeBron
and
AD. I mean, Danny in the corners off of that pick and roll is scary. And then on top of the actions that they could run for him, where frankly, with the Raptors, they didn't run too many plays for him. They had put him in a position to be effective just because of his element of floor spacing. But I look what LeBron did with Kyle Korver.
Yeah,
When
they
with
had
the Cavs.
Hammer play, that man, they ran it like crazy.
LeBron, his passing vision, his play calling, playmaking, with a shooter like Danny Danny had a great year regular season this past year. I wouldn't be surprised if he had an even better one this upcoming season. And as a 32-year-old player, the idea of you having one of your best seasons.
Yeah. This is one of his best seasons.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And he could have a better one, which is, I'm sure for him, exciting. And I know there's another element, too, where Danny likes to be recognized for his defense.
Yeah.
And he got the most votes for any player that didn't make
he was an all NBA third team defense.
Exactly. Yeah. And that doesn't exist. Yeah. Right? So if he plays the same level of defense just for the sheer nature of playing for the Lakers, he's gonna be recognized an all defensive team.
Yeah,
if he shoots over 45% again, there's no doubt in my mind he's going to the 3-point competition next year in Chicago during All Star Weekend. just, I mean, it's casualty of playing with the Lakers. And thankfully for him, the Lakers have LeBron and AD.
Right.
So he's going to be, and he's in a very good, very good situation that even if the opportunity was financially was the same with the Raptors, it still would be hard to turn down.
Yeah, for
even
sure.
As much as you would want to run it back.
And he did want to run it back.
Yeah, you go.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there was a report out there from Chris Haynes that LeBron's going to play point guard, which I think makes sense. Like, you don't even have to say that necessarily, but mm-hmm. I think it's, like, really put out there that LeBron's going to be the point guard, main playmaker, everything. And if that's the case, that's fine. LeBron could be the point guard on offense, but LeBron's not guarding the point guard on defense.
No.
And that falls to Danny.
Yeah.
And Danny's going to be covering most of the guards out there. And, man, in the West, like, there's a lot of good guards out there in the West, so... Danny's going to get a lot of recognition, and I'm really happy for him because, like, again, as you mentioned, this is a winning player, does everything right, and you just want guys like that to spend the last couple years of their prime in a good situation. Mm-hmm. You don't just want to waste it. Like when Trevor Ariza signed with, like,
the Kings,
I'm like, man, I mean, I get, and the Suns last year, too. Like, I get getting the bag, but also at the same time, like, you just want to see these guys in good situations, so... I'm happy Danny landed.
And I do think Danny's, you know, there's always going to be a group of young basketball players who are trying to fight in the league and trying to make a name for themselves, or that either in the league or like training right now in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And they could look at the superstars and aspire to be them. But at a certain point, you got to recognize who you are.
Yeah.
And I think for those guys who know it, who learned a lot faster than the others, looking at Danny and looking at his career is going to be like, wow, that's a pretty darn cool career.
Yeah.
He settled with being who he, you know, what he could do well, playing defense, hitting shots. And he did that throughout the course of his career with multiple franchises. Was always a good locker room guy. I could be that guy for 15 years as opposed to trying to be Russell Westbrook, right? I mean, yeah, you make a hell of a bag, but you're always associated with losing.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
sucks. Yeah. So there's, you know, I, again, I'm happy for him. It's a good position to be in, and I hope his success, even though it's not superstar success, but his success has an impact on how players pursue their careers going forward, because it's not a bad model to live by.
Yeah, for sure. Personally, what are you going to do? People got to know.
Well, I'm definitely going to L.A., at some point. I don't know if it's going to be in a consistent base. I don't know if I'm going to live there or if I'm going to just travel there. There's a little hesitation, not hesitation, but a little love and anxiety, because I know what the perception of LA is in terms of the people.
Yeah.
And I've found people in Toronto to be great and not pretentious.
So
I'm sure I could find the right community, the right group of people that I could get along with. So, eventually, I probably will move out there.
Mm. It's hard to leave the city, isn't it?
It's hard.
We need
city.
someone. We hard. Need somebody to say that about Toronto right now. We're hurting, you know.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man.
It's a beautiful city.
I've already vouched. Danny needs a house sitter, so I've already told him I'm available. So, but again, I still think there might be an opportunity for me here as well to stay long term, full time, mm-hmm. and I just travel to LA and come back. We'll see how things develop here in the next couple weeks or so.
Yeah.
But the goal for me, best case scenario, would be to stay.
Yeah.
With an opportunity that would allow me to continue to display what I could bring to the table, and then travel to LA on a periodical basis to take the podcast.
Yeah.
But if that doesn't happen here, then I'm off to LA.
Right.
Where maybe you might not. It's best that you keep me here now.
Yeah.
Because once I go, I might be gone.
Oh man.
We'll find out.
Nah, it doesn't. It seems like it's a win-win either way. You know?
I really can't complain.
You spend the summers in Toronto. You know, you get winters in L.A. It's not bad.
Yeah,
it's not bad. I'm sure that was on the table for Kawhi. I mean, no, I'm kidding. The new load management plan is January. You're not here. You leave the Canada Goose behind.
Yeah.
Just go home. Come back.
Yeah.
Raptors probably win like more than half those games, and you're still in a good spot. You know, it's too bad, Kawhi. It's too bad. You know, you decided to go home, but we get it, Harrison.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah,
sure. I was having a conversation about this yesterday. Guaranteed, Clippers, Lakers, Christmas Day.
Yeah,
guaranteed.
For sure. Guaranteed.
Brooklyn Nets at Celtics.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. There's a couple other matchups that are up in the air.
Yeah, they always got that random Portland game.
Yeah.
That, like, I don't want to watch, and it's like a 10:30, and I'm like, Yeah, I'm like sleepy as hell, and like Rudy Gobert is like dunking. And I'm like, I don't care about this. I don't care about this.
Do the Raptors?
Oh man,
get it? You know, the only team, I think somebody put it out there, two teams that won an NBA title that didn't end up getting a Christmas game of the year, and both teams were Spurs teams.
Wait, did Cleveland get one last year?
Ooh.
Because I was like,
maybe it was the Cavs and Spurs then.
Did the Cavs get no. The year the Cavs
when they still broke.
They
like,
won the title.
Yeah, they broke.
Okay,
back
they went
to
the finals and they didn't get. Yeah, okay. That's different.
Yeah.
Won the title, didn't get the Christmas game. Man, okay, so this is a sensitive subject for Torontonians, as you know.
I've learned that.
You know, we honestly nitpicked the smallest things, but it is weird. I think when you look at the bigger picture, you're like, why don't we get the same kind of treatment?
Why not Spurs at Raptors?
That would be great.
Spurs at Raptors Christmas Day.
That's great.
Like
let's
the
do
noon,
that.
The noon
let's
game.
Lock that in.
Yeah.
Let's lock that in.
That's not a bad one.
Yeah, I forget. The ratings might be a little bit shaky because I don't think a lot of people in San Antonio.
It's not a blockbuster.
And I don't think the ratings in Toronto count. But, I mean, you know, it would be great. It would be great if it was just like.
Imagine DeMar coming back to the place that won a title without him facing off against Kyle Lowry.
Yeah. Nah, you know they're gonna get like Sixers Celtics.
Yeah. Oh well.
And then maybe we get to play the Nets. It's gonna be
Sixers Bucks. Sixers Bucks. Sixers Bucks for sure. Nets at Celtics, Lakers, Clippers. You could almost bank those.
I was gonna say now that we're breaking it down, the Raptors are not getting Christmas games still. People are still gonna be mad about this.
Warriors, because the Warriors got to get one, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're looking. There's like one slot that they might be able to get, and they probably don't get it.
They're not getting that. It's all right.
It's unfortunate.
It's okay. Look, listen. You can spend Christmas with your family.
You know, it's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing, man. Yeah. So
Spurs low key, very good off season.
Yeah.
If you consider the fact, Marcus Morris, Damari Carroll, and you have to consider the fact that DeJounte Murray is coming back.
Maybe this is just my bias.
Go ahead.
Because I just watched. I stayed up last night to watch Raptors Spurs in Summer League.
Yeah.
Lonnie Walker is good, man.
Yeah, I forgot about
He's
him.
He's good.
Oh, like, and so the final piece of the trade was what's the guy's
Poeltl.
name? No, not Poeltl, the first round pick.
Oh, the first actually
Keldon Johnson.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a part of the Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard.
He was the 29th pick?
He's a Keldon Johnson who's had I don't know he played the last game, but before that he had like a couple of 20 plus points performances.
Okay.
So the Keldon Johnson watches.
That's a real deep cut, man. Yeah. That was a real deep cut. I'm just nodding like I know who that is, but
Keldon Johnson. He's all
right. I mean, look.
I think that's his name at least.
I mean, look, the Spurs will get anybody and they'll turn him into something, but no, it'd be interesting. It'd be interesting. Yeah, I don't think Toronto's getting a Christmas game. I mean, people are going to be mad. It's okay. It is what it is. Toronto's going to keep going and keep being mad. Hopefully a little bit less mad now that they're titles, they're champions.
Got a title.
I mean, honestly, the whole thing's going to be weird, all right? Because they're going to lift the banner on opening night. I mean, if you are...
Who do they play opening night?
See, I would want the Clippers on opening night so Kawhi could actually be here for it.
Yeah.
But that would be awkward because then they get their ass kicked.
Yeah. And also, too, you don't want that to be... Because they only play each other twice, you want to add a better primetime slot. Maybe it is opening night game.
Maybe.
Opening week game.
Sure.
Martin Luther King Day game.
No,
by then
they don't even give the Raptors those games because like we don't have MLK Day here.
Yeah,
so.
You're right. Okay.
It's
gotta be maybe
opening night would be nice.
Opening night.
It will just be a little bit sad. I mean, look, here's the thing. If it's opening night. We know Paul George is still recovering.
Danny's going to be like a random Saturday matinee.
Yeah. That's going to be unfortunate. The best part of the season next year will be all the returning Raptors coming in, getting the rings.
Yeah.
I think that's I'm looking for it. I mean, even CJ Miles is now on the Wizards, and I know Raptors fans really don't like the Wizards. So seeing the Wizards sort of wait in the sideline while watching CJ get a ring is going to be pretty fun. Hopefully they keep CJ until that point. But
the unfortunate thing is not all the players going to be able to go to Parliament, though.
That's the thing also. Like, so when they go to Parliament and it's like,
Kawhi's not there,
Pascal's
not there,
Fred's there, but then Eric Morin's there. And it's like, it's not the same, you know. They may got to bring like the fake Kawhi come in, just like put him in the jersey. I don't know, man.
You laugh because it hurts.
It is weird. I would have very much liked for them to run it back.
Yeah.
You know? There was a lot of memories here, but.
Yeah. And easily would have been to the finals.
Yeah, they won. Oh my God, the East sucks.
East
sucks.
East
like
is
even
washed.
The Sixers, where I'm like, oh, they probably have the most talent. And I'm like, they got one guy that can dribble, and he's Ben Simmons.
And they
like,
got 1.5 shooters.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone said they had a good offseason. I'm like, I don't think giving Tobias Harris that much money is a good offseason. Like, I'm happy for Tobias that he got the money. Yeah, but he's not even good at three. He's better at four.
There you go.
And you got Al Horford.
I don't.
That's a weird
it.
Trade. I wouldn't make that trade personally.
If any, I was so
even Redick to Richardson is like Richardson's way better defensively, but like
the drop.
I don't know, man. You need the shooting.
Yeah, I mean their best actions end of game were Embiid. Redick 2-man games,
yep.
And Jimmy Butler pick and rolls, and they lost both of those. They lost both of those.
Yeah, so who's going to close games for them? Because you know it's not Ben Simmons.
It's not Ben Simmons.
And so your end of game is Tobias Harris running a pick and roll with Embiid.
Yeah, it probably is.
That's not. I mean, that's not good. Yeah. That's just not good.
Not good.
And,
hey,
and then the Bucks. I mean, like, damn. Like, I thought Brogdon was their second best player, and then to lose him. So,
but then you signed his brother, so you save it.
Oh yeah, that's right.
You signed
Giannis's
brother.
That's crazy. They signed him. You know what, though? The Raptors, a couple years back, they signed Nick Wiggins. You heard of Nick Wiggins?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Andrew Wiggins' brother?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And Wiggins was even on the team.
Yeah.
And that was Wiggins.
Yeah. Well, that's what the Mavericks did with Giannis' brother, too. His younger brother.
I remember that. Because the Raptors had, I think, they had no picks last year. No first or no seconds. And he got picked 59th, I believe, mm-hmm. by the Mavs. And I was just praying and hoping. I was watching that entire draft to the very end. And I'm like, this guy's still on the board. And I know how much Masai likes the Giannis, the mm-hmm. Antetokounmpo family. There's mm-hmm. a different, certain tie there.
So and does Giannis watch start now?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's already happened. A thing. Yeah, Alex already put it at 65%. So he said Kawhi was coming back 99.8.
Yeah, I know.
So 65%. I put it at like 15 or whatever. But
man, if they would have, who knows? I mean, they should have really bought. I don't care what the cost is. You bring back Brogdon.
I mean, who knows? Brogdon might have some injury issues, but still, I mean. You got to play for upside there. Yeah. You got Giannis on the team. You can't be playing for the luxury tax and stuff. That's how you lose superstars to Toronto eventually, hopefully.
Yeah.
All right. Harrison, thank you so much for doing the podcast. We hope you stick around. You know, we'll be listening to the Green Room for sure, though, because I think
That'd
next year,
great.
I mean, the guests, you're already previewing. You know what I mean? Like, the potential. We don't want to promise anything, but the potential is real high. So. Yeah.
Hope everybody still tunes in. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure, man.
And obviously, we'll take some memories of Toronto with us. We'll have.
Do you take the Polaroids with you?
Yeah. Is there going to be property?
I don't even know. Actually, maybe I should. Maybe that's not to me to offer.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah. We'll figure that out. But no, we'll bring some memorabilia from this title run, and we'll put it on the set.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure, have to.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. So. Thank you. Wish you the best of luck. We'll be back next week with more podcasts.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics, all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.